You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
On Mother's Day, we give flowers to mothers. And on Father's Day, we give advice to fathers. Somebody has suggested that we should give golf balls to fathers on Father's Day. The suggestion highlights the fact that Father's Day is more or less of a family joke, more endured than celebrated. Most fathers don't mind. Maybe that's part of the problem. They take it as their due to be ignored, except maybe in their role as breadwinners, while mothers take care of the children. All of us have a father who does mind. He's one of whom the psalmist said, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. As a father is kind to his children, so the Lord is kind to those who honor him. We have a father who does mind. He is Lord and cares about his position and also his function as a father. He does care about how he is treated by his children. He is a breadwinner, but he's also a father. He's an architect, a builder, a manager. First and foremost, however, he is a father. The Lord God expects to be treated as a father. He's not a cosmic joke, as some have tried to make him out to be. He's not a dim and distant figure who threw our globe out into space and then forgot about it. He did not create humanity in his own image, only to let a world of people go to hell on wheels. God is a father who pities his children, shows kindness to them, and loves them with a love that is almost beyond comprehension. He loves humanity, even when it turns its back on him. He reaches out to touch the hearts of people, even to sending his own unique and eternal Son to die on a cross on their behalf, and truly puts himself in their place. God is a father, not a robot. He does not want his children, or even those who rebel against him, to be robots either, even though they turn against him almost automatically as if it is the thing to do. God is a father, interested in the everyday, the ordinary, the practical things of life, like how a family is getting along, and how the children are behaving themselves. He is content to be known as Father, but he's satisfied with nothing less. The name Father has little meaning for a lot of people today. A youngster once asked his pastor, "What is God like?" The pastor answered, "God is like a father." The young man replied, "If he is like my father, I sure would hate him." It's time to remember that human fathers need to learn from God what it means to be a father, rather than the other way around. The human family will not come to peace and order until it recognizes again what fatherhood really means, the recognition that God is Father and everything that recognition brings to family life. It is not hard to become a father if that's all it takes to achieve the status of fatherhood. In his Tales Out of School, Patrick Welch writes, one particularly active young man in high school years, by the way, nicknamed the baby doctor by classmates, was reported to have impregnated 5 girls at 3 different schools, including 3 at the same school, all of whom were carrying a child of his at the same time. This is in the Reader's Digest of October 1986. In its crass form, that is all there is to fatherhood for too many people these days. It's small wonder that family life has been cheapened to the point where it is almost non-existent. Sociologists are beginning to point out what every nincompoop can see. Without family life of a vital character, all of humanity is the loser. Lack of family life hits especially hard those who are immediately subjected to the carelessness and outright disregard for the law of God, which has made the major contribution to what may eventually become complete chaos. A good deal of the guidance out of chaos has to come from the best fathers. When it comes right down to it, the best father there ever will be is God himself. The Bible keeps telling us he is God our Father. The Lord instructed people to pray to him and say, Our Father. Psalm 103 talks about the Lord and describes him first and foremost as Father. What kind of Father is he, anyway? The psalmist tells us, He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He keeps me from the grave and blesses me with love and mercy. He fills my life with good things so that I stay young and strong like an eagle. The Lord is merciful and loving, slow to become angry, and full of constant love. He does not keep on rebuking. He's not angry forever. He does not punish us as we deserve or repay us according to our sins and wrongs. As high as the skies above the earth, so great is his love for those who have reverence for him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sins from us. And then comes the punchline. As a father is kind to his children, so the Lord is kind to those who honor him. God is kind, like a kind father. He's full of compassion. He's full of mercy. He's generous with his forgiveness and blessing and love. The generosity of God's kindness, when you understand it, is simply overwhelming. The generosity of God is the greatest story ever told. That story is not fiction. It is not the stuff of fanciful stories that never took place or never could happen. It is like the story of a journalist who tries, at least, to tell it as it is, with as many facts as he can muster to answer the questions who, what, where, when, and how. In some cases, he may even try to answer the question, why? Why, indeed? Because he's God, that's why. He's God, whether we like it or not. He is a father. Not content to let his children destroy themselves in all of their waywardness, and sometimes by their outright wickedness, he's a father. Not a grandfather. He wants his children to grow up into responsible citizens, not only in the human family, but in the family of God himself. It is hard to be a good father, as any father can tell you. Fatherhood is not the easiest job in the world. Fathers are under constant stress in a competitive society. They find themselves fighting traffic to and from work. Often they have little energy left when they arrive home and plop into a chair to take it easy and to relax. Fathers often have other commitments, not only in business, but also in the community and even in the church. As a result of pressures, many fathers have abdicated their responsibility of leadership and influence in the lives of their children. They expect mother to take over. It's a good thing mothers do. The result is, however, that many fathers become second-class citizens in their own homes. Large numbers of fathers are absentee fathers. They're like visitors in their own household. One child was overheard asking another, Where's your father? The other answered, He doesn't live here, he just sleeps here. Millions of children have heard the devastating announcement, Your father and I are getting a divorce. In many cases, these children continue to reach out for a father who is not there. The television set has often become a sort of a father, and even a surrogate mother. Children often come into contact with father only when some correction is needed. Otherwise, they have to shift completely for themselves. That's not the way God does things, even though sometimes we might wish that he did. He does care, even though the way we have been going might lead us to believe that he does not. He does care, like the care of a good father, he often has to begin with correction. You can see that in the whole history of God's people. The Bible talks about the process, the sinning and the forgiving, followed by the mercy and the kindness. The prophet Isaiah pointed out that quality of God in a striking passage of his prophecy to Israel. All of us have been sinful, said the prophet. Even our best actions are guilty through and through. Because of our sins, we are like leaves that wither and are blown away by the wind. No one turns to you, O Lord, in prayer. No one goes to you for help. You are our God, our Lord. We are like clay, and you are like the potter. You created us, so do not be too angry with us or hold our sins against us forever. We are your people. Be merciful to us. The Lord God, our Father, has mercy on his mind all the time. It is the incomprehensible and almost absolutely necessary part of being a father. The Lord, our Father, had mercy on his mind when he sent his Son Jesus to earth to suffer and to die on a cross, only to be raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, who took pleasure and delight in his Son. God gave his own Son to die. That was a great giving. The Bible keeps telling us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The kindness of God, our Father, is not sentimental. It is not swayed by the winds of public opinion. No matter what, he's going to be a father bent on raising sons and daughters who know what the score is and are willing to pay the price themselves for being members of the family. A good father listens to his children. I think I could have listened to my children a lot more than I did. All of us fathers need to recognize that we could have been better fathers. A father who refuses to recognize that he is anything but the best father who ever lived has some bats flying around in his belfry. Children need a father more than the things that he can buy for them. I always admire fathers who take a sincere and personal interest in their children. Children recognize how stern he can be, as the sternness of God can be recognized in his dealings with all of us. He's a just God, and at the same time, he always has mercy on his mind. He does demand what is right. And like a good father, he remembers that we are human. He knows our frame, that we are dust. People who do not see God that way do not really know him. Children need fathers like that, able to correct and also to comfort, urging young people to do their best, and yet always extending forgiveness for their failures. Children like that are blessed of God on earth. They come to know God as he wants to be known. As a father is kind to his children, so the Lord is kind to those who honor him. A good father cares, as the good Lord cares. That takes time. A study was made of the estimated time which fathers spend each day with their one-year-old children. When asked, those fathers said they spend about 15 to 20 minutes a day with them. Investigators then attached microphones to the clothing of the children. The results were quite different. The average amount of time spent by middle-class fathers with their small children was 37 seconds a day. A young man who's now a Bible class teacher in a church tells me about the time when he was coming home from college. I remember once, he said, when I was returning home from college, my car broke down 2 hours from home. I called my dad, and he came to rescue me. That's one thing he'll remember about his father a whole lifetime. That son will honor his father. He will probably have the opportunity of honoring his father in the same way as his father honored him, by loving him. Good fathers feel responsible not only for the physical well-being, but also for the spiritual growth of their children. Beasts of the field and birds of the air feel no particular responsibility for their young after they reach the age of puberty. Human beings, created by God in his own image and redeemed by Jesus Christ in the atonement of his own blood, are to be nurtured, educated, and brought up to honor God so that they become not only respectable people, but respectful toward one another instead of picking on one another as people do who never acquire any spiritual maturity. Good fathers impart values to their children in casual conversations sometimes and in routine relations of everyday living. The father who honors God takes his children to church with him helps them to overcome problems with a living sense of dependence upon God, helps them to believe and follow Jesus Christ, and leads them to understand that discipline with forgiveness is the best way to achieve a satisfying life instead of trying to get even in order to get ahead. Everyday faith in God becomes the platform of everybody in the family, including Father. Children learn that the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Dr. Barry Brazelton, a pediatrician who's a professor at Harvard Medical School, has written, "Every child needs a mother and a father. Every father can make a difference. 25 years ago, fathers were treated as if they were actually dangerous to their babies. At that time, a man's job was considered his most important task. Men are expected to be more competent parents today, but we still do not reward them for being involved with children. In spite of women's march into the workplace, the message our society sends is still the same. It's okay for women to work, but their most important job is to mother. It's okay for men to be parents, but their most important job is work." It's time that message changed, says the doctor. It's time for all of us to reinforce men who dare to be fathers. Perhaps the best way to start encouraging men is by assuring them that their contribution counts. Fathers can look to God, not only with faith toward him, but also with the expression of generosity like his. With a father like that, children have a better sense of what it means to be truly human and to get along a lot better with others. With fathers like that, children are more motivated to learn, are more successful in school, and better prepared for life. A pastor I know always tells his confirmation class, "The man, as you know, is the head of the house," he says. The usual reaction of the class is loud laughter. Children know who is really running the house. It's good that fathers have a sense of humor about themselves. A good father with generosity like God's toward his children, forgiven and forgiving, is no longer a piece of putty. He commands respect. He's firm and loving, neither over strict or too permissive. He does not indulge or pamper his children. If necessary, he disciplines those he loves. A father is patient as God is patient with his children. A good father is forgiving toward his children as God forgives with all generosity. At the same time, he's always in a position to put his foot down and say, "This is the way it will be done." Where do you begin if you're a father? Begin where the psalmist began. Praise the Lord God Almighty, generously honoring him, the God who for the sake of Christ loves, forgives, and blesses you. As the psalmist said, this is the beginning of generous response to the generosity of God. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And do not forget how kind he is. Fathers and all of you who have a role in helping the rising generation to put its shoulder to the wheel, honoring God, you become colleagues with God. As the father is kind to his children, the Lord is kind to those who honor him. Amen.